I'm Christina. And just a little bit of a background, which I love the fact that this morning we got to go around and just introduce ourselves. Because even whenever I knew I was going to share today, I was like, man, there are so many new people here that I don't know if I'm going to know most of the people. And that's a wonderful situation to be in. And so being able to hear where you're from, how you came here, it's powerful because you all have a story. And in that story, God has literally directed you. Because that's consistency of God, how he loves us in our lives. So for my short little testimony, I was not raised in church. However, I had reference to the Assemblies of God because my grandparents, little southern North Florida church, would go on Christmas or Easter for your visiting. In fact, I had no reference to churches apparently when I was like 4 or 5. We were at church, and my grandparents are good Christians, so they sat, you know, front, second or third row, and I was bored apparently, and I decided to do a handstand right in the pew, and I guess I flashed everybody. So, you know, that's my reference of church. I really didn't know, you know, what to do, and if I was bored, I'm just going to do a handstand. So later on in my life, my parents started going to church, I think because they knew they needed something more to even keep their marriage together. Which I think was smart of them, you know, they needed God. And so for me, I entered into college with an awareness of God because of my family's background, but not a personal relationship. And so it was actually God used Florida State University, a party school, but a Christian fellowship on that campus to impact my life. And it was Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship, which is an Assemblies of God ministry. And through that, I graduated, I knew I wanted to help people, and in the end, I became a Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship pastor. And I was in New Jersey for 10 years doing that, and then also I was a young adult pastor at a church. So I have that portion of my life that I love. I look back on it, I have fond memories, but there's a big piece of me that was never allowed to be. And so about 5-6 years ago, I knew it was time to move on, as much as I hated it, because in a way, it was a perfect situation. Great people, loved it, loved what I did, but I couldn't be out. This AG does not recognize that. So in my mind, I thought, oh, I'll just transition, do a different type of education, and I knew I wanted to go and become a chiropractor. So I did that, came down here, started school, and the whole time thinking, I'm just going to take a break from church. I went to a big church. I was a part of staff. I just need a break, God. So when we were sharing earlier and I said I wasn't looking for a church, it's really true. I was not looking. I would kind of go to big churches if I needed my little fix, because you can sit in the back. No one cares. You know, not that they don't. You know what I mean? They care, but it's, you can sneak in and out, and no one ever even knows. So ended up coming here with a friend. And it blew me away because, I didn't even know that Pastor Keith had the background, spiritual background that was extremely similar to mine. I never knew I would find a gay-affirming church that actually walked in the spiritual gifts because I missed it. It broke my heart because I thought I would never have that again. And being able to have this church and that, please don't ever take it for granted. Because we're not perfect. We are not. But the fact that God can move here and speak to people, that is a gift beyond anything that I can have ever have come across myself. It was God. It had to have been God. So that's my little story of where I'm at now. So here I am. And I'm so glad to be here with you guys. And that's kind of how I want to start this chat. We're going to chat today. So can you go to the next slide? So here you are too, right? Here I am. There you are. We're all here in Atlanta. We're living our lives. We're trying to do it, right? You wake up in the morning. Maybe you get coffee. Maybe you wake up just in time to get out the door. Sometimes, you know, your commute's perfect. Sometimes it's horrid. But you are living life, right? You try to go one day at a time, get through it, and make it happen. And one of the things that in life, there's joy, there's excitement, there's happiness, but then there's the things that we kind of cringe at, like taxes, the hour-long commute that actually turns into an hour and a half. Oh yeah, and then there's something even spiritually, evangelism. And what I want to talk to you today is the fact that evangelism, we've actually been lied to, or we've believed a lie about evangelism, because a lot of us, okay, when we think of evangelism, what do you think? You can, if you have something in your mind, go ahead, say it. Ding, 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 right there, right? Anyone else? Pamphlets, Billy Graham, right? You got to do something you just really don't want to do. I mean, really, if you want to sum it up to this, it's that. Well, the thing is, we really have believed a lie because that's not all of evangelism. That's like a little piece of it. And what I want to share with you today is you don't have to be a Billy Graham because he was already there. You don't have to go to your local street corner because that may not be exactly where you're supposed to be anyways. Evangelism is different, actually. And what I like to call it is normal life evangelism. And so can we go to the next slide? So normal, the usual, average, or typical state of condition, and then life, a particular type or aspect of people's existence, right? That seems comfortable, but then when we add evangelism, it's like, well, I don't know about that. What do you mean? And I just want to show that, and I'm sharing with you something that God revealed to me. So it's not like I haven't had to live this myself or learn it myself. It is actually exactly what God showed me. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times too, when we think of evangelism, we think, I got to sell everything, I got to become a missionary, and I got to move to China. Right? No. Do you know that the United States is the third largest lost people group? Right here in our country, we are the third largest lost, meaning people don't know Christ. And we are growing to close to 350 million people in our country. So we're growing, and there's a lot of lost people right here. So you don't have to sell everything. You don't have to move to China. If you want, you can. But you can also stay here and be used by God. There's a verse in Romans. Well, I'm going to read you. If you want to, it's in Romans 10, 13 through 15. You guys have probably heard it before, but if not, I want to go ahead and read it for you. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And this is a powerful verse, especially that last line, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Because think about when this is written. This is written back in the day before shoes. They had sandals. Everywhere they walked was dirt roads, mud. So if anyone did not have beautiful feet, it was people during the time this was written. So I really think the author was trying to bring to attention and a point that it doesn't matter. The news of the gospel is so wonderful, so powerful. You could have mud, you could have other things, and your feet are going to be beautiful because of the message you're bringing. And from that message, life, right? Next slide, please. Sheep. So there's a couple of verses in the Bible about sheep. Now, do you know there's like 1,000 different types of sheep on earth? Yeah, I didn't know that. Did you know that sheep, when they're born, they're already independent? They do their own thing. Yeah, they are. However, they are also group oriented. So they want their own independence, but they want to be in the group too. Kind of sounds like humans. I don't know. Also, they actually show emotion and have facial expressions. Yeah, they're very intelligent. Even though people want to be like, don't be like a sheep, don't just follow the crowd. They're actually pretty smart. They're very smart. And that's probably what gets them in trouble, honestly, is they are smart and curious and they want to go and look and things. This is the thing. People think, oh, don't be a sheep, don't just follow. But I kind of was praying about this. I was like, what's up with sheep? And God was like, it's not that they're not smart. They are smart, obviously. It's just that they're trusting. They're fully trusting. So they will follow that shepherd to the end of the earth because they trust that shepherd. And then what happens is whenever they get distracted or they put their trust in something else, that's when they get in trouble. So what I tell you this for is, next slide, is there's a lot of people out there and they feel like if they serve God, they're just sheep, you know, and they're not able to just be themselves. But that's farthest from the truth. And I think that God even, when they were writing this the parable, which, go ahead in the next one. See, that would be me on the right, the one that you see just a little second ago. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. So when we go to the parable where it says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, so really hone in on this next part. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So what is this all about? Because didn't you start, Christina, with normal life evangelism? Well, first of all, it's perspective. We need to be reminded that we are trying to reach people because we serve the God who will go after the one. And when he finds the one, he doesn't go up to him like, what's your issue? Why didn't you listen to me? Get back over there. No, it's not like that. He lifts that sheep up over his shoulder, intimacy, carries them back, rejoices, tells his neighbor, celebrates. So I wanted to lay a foundation that, remember, when we are living our life and wanting to be used by God, we're not leading people to God. And then you have to be hesitant because you're afraid. It's almost like you're tattling on them. Oh, yeah, come give your life to God. And they'd be like, good luck with that. You and God, your sins and all. You know what I mean? It's not like that. You're leading them to a God that's rejoicing that they're coming back, that's celebrating them. So kind of a good way to look at it, isn't it? I don't know. I could be wrong. But I know God showed me that and revealed that to me, too, that that's who we get to walk them toward. And that's who finds them. So, I'm going to tell you a little story about a pair of earrings. So, I have a pair of earrings my grandmother gave me. They're nothing special other than the fact that my grandmother gave them to me. And I was at a conference once, and it was when I was a campus pastor, and I was roomed with someone I didn't know. It was a female who snored. That was a long night. Well, actually, 2 to 3 nights, because that's how long the conference was. And so the last day, I was like, I'm getting out of here. I get to go home and get some sleep. And I'm getting ready, but because she was in the room and I didn't really know her, I had the lights off, was trying to get ready. Well, I'd put my earrings that my grandmother gave me on kind of like a TV stand up top, so I knew that's where they were. So I go to reach for them because I knew that's where I put them last night. I only found one. I was like, earrings, two ears, two earrings, there's only one. So I mean, if she would have woke up, she probably would have thought I was crazy. I was on the ground. I was checking places. I went all over the carpet, not even like a 50-foot radius, looking for this other earring, going crazy because it was special to me, but it was also lost, and I need to find it, and I need to leave. So has anyone ever lost anything? Yeah? Raise your hand if you lost something. If you've never lost anything, please raise your hand because you are, wow, I just want to shake your, okay, good. So isn't it frustrating beyond words when you lose your keys, the remote that was literally just there, something important, a piece of paper with someone's phone number. I mean, you just set it down, turned around, now it's gone. And then you go hunting and you tear apart everything looking for it, right? The other day we couldn't find Natasha's glasses. And then lo and behold, literally, they were right there on the counter. Somehow we both missed it. But that search, that hunt, right? That intensity. We kind of get intense when we go looking for something lost, correct? So think about that. Where does that come from? Who cares? Why do we care so much about something lost? It's of importance, maybe? Special, maybe? Well, what if we thought about it this way, too? You know, Christina, I love people and I love God, but I'm not into evangelism. It's not in me. Actually, I don't agree with that. I believe that evangelism is so much, can be so much a part of us that God even made it in our character of who we are as people, that when we lose something, we run after it. We seek it. We tear apart everything to find that thing. And it's the same thing with people. If we will let God flip the switch, we will desire to find people, to help look for them until they are found. And that's however God wants to use you. So the next time you say, it's not for me, I beg to differ. I think we were created to always want to find what is lost. Now, we're going to go back to the normal evangelist. This is all tying together, I promise. Promise. When I was a campus pastor, I had a lot of my meetings at Starbucks because it was near my church and it was a good little location, right? And one of the things that the Lord taught me about normal life evangelism is that, where are you every day in your life? Where are you? It doesn't matter. Where do you work at, sir? So you're way up north, okay? Where do you work at, ma'am? You're a student, so where are you at? Emory, so you're on Emory campus, right there. You're in two different, completely different places, right? And you're there for a reason, and you're there for a reason. And so what I learned was I got to know the people working at Starbucks, names, their lives. And what the interesting thing is, they didn't know I was a pastor until probably months into talking with them and getting to know them. And I didn't do it on purpose. I just was trying to treat them like people, you know, like get to know them. And one day I remember one of them was like, so what do you do? You're always here. And I was like, well, actually, I'm a pastor. And their face, like, was shocked. Probably because I looked like I was 13. And, yeah. And that I was a pastor. And they were just like, what? So it really taught me, which I naturally do this anyways, but it really just drove the point. To learn about the person, learn about people, get to know them, be you, and just get to know who's around you. And at that point in time for my life, it was Starbucks employees. And God will use you because, I'll tell you this, we never know where someone is in their walk, where they are in their journey, but we might be able to be used at a strategic point. Did I ever see any of those Starbucks employees surrender, drop to their knee, give their life to God, you know, like Billy Graham crusade? No. Did everyone in the Starbucks just like, Lord help us? You know, like, no, it wasn't anything dramatic, but was I consistent? Did I get to pray with some of them? Did I get to speak truth into their life by encouraging them? Yeah, I did. And I believe with all my heart that was part of their journey to get to know God. Doesn't that sound easy? Doesn't that sound actually kind of fun? Yeah. Right? Pressure's off. You don't have to figure out what to say. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about thinking, I really think I should talk to him, but I don't know what to say. So I'm going to make this as awkward as I'll get out and just... No, that's not how it's supposed to be. Okay? Now, the next slide, please. James 5:20. Here's a little bit of encouragement. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. I want you guys to just think about this. By walking with God, by living our life, but saying, God, use me today. If there's anyone you want me to talk to, if there's anyone that needs you, help me. We're a part of this, James 5:20, helping to save someone from death and cover over a multitude of sins. And the last time I checked, there are people in this world who carry sin, aka guilt. I mean, think about it. What are some of the things that we are guilty about the most? Are our sins. They're just weighing on them. So just, wow, we get to be a part of lifting that and giving them this new life where they don't have to be weighed down in sin. Is it Jesus? Hands down. He's the one that does it all. But can he use us? Yeah. Yes. And that, to see someone literally just go from withdrawn, no hope, and literally God, Jesus breathed life into them and they are a new person. Because that's what it says. We are created into a new person. When you hear the words eternal life, most of us tend to interpret that as a life that waits for us in eternity, right? Eternal life. But eternal means unending. Eternal means unending, not later. So this is what I challenge you guys to reset in your mind. Eternal life isn't helping people get, you know, to heaven. It actually starts right now. Eternal life started the moment I was conceived, the moment you were conceived. That's when your eternal life started. And so, as you're living in your life, praying, God, how can I be used today? Remember, you are actually impacting eternity. Eternity. It's not just getting them into church, sitting in a pew. You know, it's eternity. And that's a powerful thing because when you think about it, Jesus, or God, didn't have to allow us to do that. We messed up, and he set it up so that Jesus would bring us back to him, right? And from that point on, he's like, all right, guys, I got this. You messed it up. I'm going to deal with this here on out. But he didn't. He's like, no, I want to partner with you to change eternity. But he does it by who you are and who you are and your uniqueness and your things that you like to do. I want to go look at birds. Well, you know what? You might have other people that like to also, and they might need to start hearing about Jesus. It's not just exclusive to going to Pride and standing at the booth, because that's powerful too, because as we heard, people came because of that. But it's in your job. It's in your, when you're walking maybe in Target or the mall. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I had just gotten saved. I was on campus, FSU campus, and I was walking across campus, and I looked over, and I, you know, when you're first saved, it's kind of like, okay, God, I want to be used. I was walking along, and I look off in the distance, and there's someone sitting at a picnic table by themselves. And I kid you not, I heard the Holy Spirit say, go talk to them. And I was like, what? Go talk to them. But I kept walking, and I kept arguing. Or rationalizing, maybe not arguing is the appropriate word. I was like, no, God, it's all right. They look busy. Now, mind you, it's like 6, dusk. They can't read anything because it's dark. It's getting dark. You know, and then like, and then I, no, seriously, go talk to them. Then I'm like, well, you know, Lord, I don't know what to say. What if they, you know, they may not have time, right? All these things went in my head. We all have probably had those moments with that little voice. So I keep walking. By the time I finally was like, okay, I've ran out of excuses, and I turn around to go back to talk to them, they're gone. And that moment in time taught me something I'll never forget, because God didn't spank me. He didn't yell at me. He just said, it was almost like he just said, see? And I learned something. If you ever hear that little voice that says, talk to someone. Ask someone how they're doing. Share something positive. Have you ever doubted if it was from God? Have you sometimes, right? Don't ever doubt. It is the Holy Spirit, because there's two things. First, the devil doesn't want you to encourage people and lead them to Christ. So you can just push that out. It's not, you know, if anyone's like, if you hear that voice, oh, don't do it. You know what? You're going to bother them. That's the devil. Second, well, I don't know what they're going to say. They may not accept me. They think I'm weird. That's humanity talking to you, meaning our flesh, saying our flesh doesn't want to be crucified. Our flesh doesn't want to be put in a weird situation. So it's going to we're going to talk ourselves out of it. You know what I mean? So from here on out, now you know. I'm sorry I put this on you, but it's true. If you ever hear that little voice that says, go talk to that person, or just encourage that person, or smile at that person, or look at their name tag and actually refer to them with their name. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4:1. This is my life verse. This is a verse that's always spoken to me. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Everyone here has a calling. Everyone here has a purpose. If you do not believe that, you and God need to have some FaceTime, because it's true. And anything else is a lie. So as you leave here and you get up and you walk out, if you ever wake up in the morning and you doubt why you're here, rebuke it. Because somewhere you might be searching for that calling. That's fine. You can search. It's a journey. But never, ever doubt that you are here for a reason. So that's just a little gift that God gave me and I want to share with you. And then the final slide. So you are here. And when we started earlier, it was a little, you know, spot. But this one's different because it's a road. And I just want you guys to understand that you're here and it's a journey. And it's based on one step at a time and where you're at. And you can be you. You don't have to be anyone else but you to reach people. Do you know that? No one else. Because I'm going to reach people that you can't, and you sure heck is going to reach a lot more people than I can because you're being who you are. And so I just want to encourage you that when you think about evangelism, have a new definition, have a new mindset, because really evangelism is just living life, but saying, today, God, who would you like me? Who do you want to touch? Who do you want to talk to? And can I be a part of that? And that's it.
Thank you for that. That was really, really good. Father, I thank you for today. I'm glad that we were able to have an intimate time together to kind of know each other more. I know there are people who are struggling with some things today. If you do need prayer, if there's something that you really are struggling with, we're just going to pray that God would just minister to you. So if you'd like prayer, just come up and let us pray with you, and then we'll just dismiss in a minute.